So next up, we don't have one presenter. We have two presenters. We have three presenters who might be kind of familiar to all of you. We've got Abel, Brady, Ralph. And they had some shenanigans on Twitter last night where their demo looks to be quite the, let's say, menagerie of things, of tech things coming together. I know there's Azure, there's APIM, so Azure API management. There's GitHub Actions, there's Power Apps, and .NET coming together to solve a real business problem. So over to you, Squad. We can't wait to see what you've built, which is going to be a surprise to all of us today.
Cool. Thanks a lot for that lovely intro. I'm Brady Gaster.
Did we choose who goes next?
I think you should go next.
I'm Ralph Squalachi.
I'm Abel Wang.
And as you can see, we're probably going to have a relatively relaxed session. We've asked that we have control over our own mute buttons, so say a prayer. All right, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to jump right in. So I'm going to share my screen real quick, and you'll see our chat, and now I'll flip over to the deck. Again, this is our PowerPoint presentation. We wanted to introduce ourselves. I'm Brady. Abel will be going second to talk about DevOps, and then Ralph will be going to talk about the future. Getting a little bit of feedback. Giving a lot of feedback. That's better. Thank you. Real quick, wanted to put these up. If you want to reach out to us on Twitter, feel free. Since we're going to be doing a trio of sessions here together, once I'm done, if you have questions for Abel, you can ask me on Twitter, and I'll send him questions in the back channel, and then we can all get together later, and we can ask Ralph questions while he's on. And then when we get together in the Dev2 channel, you can ask us all questions. We can go a little bit deeper as we go. I'm going to be debuting something that was released yesterday in the Visual Studio 2019 preview release. Abel's going to be talking about some awesome DevOps-y stuff, and Ralph's going to be showing you some stuff that doesn't quite exist yet. Some great stuff that we have in the future around cloud native application bundles and how to package up your powerful applications. So let's go ahead and dive right in. First thing is, we're going to be talking about all these things together, like Donna said. We're going to kind of have a myriad of different tech here. We're going to use it the same way our customers do, same way you do, use it all together to build something awesome. And this is what it looks like. So essentially what you have over here on the left-hand side, you have our IDEs, VS Code and Visual Studio, which I'll be using today, most powerful IDEs out there. And then definitely the most powerful source code control you've got out there, GitHub. We're going to be using these together with components from the Power Platform, along with, as Donna said, a couple of Azure services. Today's Azure services, we're going to be looking at API management and some new features we have in Visual Studio around API management. And we're going to be taking a look at App Service, which is the one thing not on here, unfortunately. We'll also be storing our data into Cosmos DB, and we're going to have a source code repository available to you after the session, where you can see how to use the Entity Framework Cosmos DB provider. So if you want to take a look at that, we can party on that later. As you see up here at the top, this is kind of your low code scenario. We've actually seen some pretty high code scenarios in Power Apps today, some things I didn't even know you could do. But then when you get down here, these are kind of the code first where folks like me and Abel and Ralph tend to spend most of our time. All right, that's that. Go ahead and dive into the demos and we'll talk about the homework and some resources later on. So one thing I'll do here is I will pull up this repository. You can see here that this repository is currently private. I'm going to make it public right after I make sure Ralph hasn't put anything in there that you don't want to see. So once we get done with the session, I'll go out, I'll make it public so you can take note of the URL here. One thing I want to point out, if you saw Jeff Holland on his keynote demo, Invent with Purpose at Build, you saw the code that we're going to show you today. So we're actually going to show you how it all works. We put a handy button in here where you can click on it and open this right up in VS Code Spaces to go ahead and get started. Going right along. So what I'll do first, copy this URL out. I'm going to open up VS. I'm actually going to clone this directly from GitHub. And while that's opening, I'm going to show you over here. I have my app service, and this is my development environment. Go ahead and grab that URL. So we're going to use that later. This is actually where I'll be publishing code to in a minute. Sorry. Been a powerful day of demos. All right, now let me flip back over to VS here, which I've got open. You'll see that I've already cloned the code. So I'm going to expand this and open up the connected services. And what you'll see is that we know we're using Cosmos DB here. I'm going to be debugging this locally first. So what I want to do is actually restore this. So right here, click this. I'll say edit dependency. And we'll see, we'll go out to Azure. That's the wrong sub. We'll go to the right sub, my happy sub here. I'll click next. And that will dial in my connection string. I'm going to put that into a local secrets file. I could put it in Azure Key Vault if I want to. I'll do that whenever I deploy. Right now, just go ahead and click next. And you'll see that it's going to go ahead, download everything I need, install my NuGets, my NuGet packages, and go ahead and wire everything up. At this point, I can actually debug this. And I don't want to debug it inside of a browser. I want to use this great tool we have called the ACTP REPL. So I'm going to go ahead and run this. You'll see here that my REPL is going to open up. And what I want to do is I'm going to say ls, and you'll see all the different controllers that I can go to. So what I'm going to do now is say cd into ports of entry, and I'm going to do a get. And this is actually a .NET global tool that we're going to give you some homework on later. You'll see that I've gone ahead and I've made a request to my localhost running app. So I'm going to go ahead and close that. And now what I'll do is I'll close this, and I'm going to be setting the host that we're going to render in our Swagger file here in a minute using Swashbuckle. I'll talk about. I'm going to paste this in right here and take out the trailing slash. Go ahead and save that file. Now we've got this ready for deployment. The last thing I'll do, open up startup. I'm going to scroll down here and you'll see, like I said, that we're actually using Swagger generation using Swashbuckle. You could also use NSwag for this, but I use Swashbuckle just because habit. I like it a lot. And the Swashbuckle folks are doing some really great stuff to make it easier and easier to be able to dial in Swagger. So now I'll go over to my APIM instance. You'll see that I don't have any APIs. I want to create a blank one right here. I'm going to paste in that name and just hit create. And now what you'll see is that I have a blank API, no operations, nothing in it. What I want to do is publish my app service, publish my code to my app service, and then I actually want to ingest the API using that Swagger URL directly into my APIM instance, because you can do all kinds of crazy things with Power Automate once you have your API behind API management. In the past, if you wanted to do that, you'd have to publish. Then you have to get your Swagger OAS URL. But we wanted to make that super, super easy for everybody who wants to extend their Power Apps. So you can see here that we've got the new publishing dialog. I'll go ahead and here and select Windows, just because this is going to be my development environment. I'll select my Windows app. If it loads up here. The law of the demo. I'll change subscriptions and see if it refreshes more quickly. There we go. I'm going to go ahead and select that screening app dev environment. Now I'm right-click publishing here, just to my dev environment. We'll talk about that here in a minute, Abel. Go ahead and click next, and you'll see we have this new bit here, this new step. It's labeled API management. If I were to extend this, you'll see there's my API management instance. And here's the API that I just created, that empty API. I'm going to select that and click finish. And the reason that lights up is our project system knows that I've got the Swashbuckle ASP.NET Core NuGet package installed, and that means this project is emitting OAS, Open API Specification. So I can actually ingest that directly into API management. Right here, I'll click on configure because I want to set my connection string to that Cosmos DB. And I want to set that this time in my Azure app settings right up in the cloud when I publish everything. Right here, I'll just click next and then I'll click finish. And at this point, I am ready to publish. If I wanted to, I could go ahead and configure my connection string to be stored in Key Vault, but I just went ahead and put it in the app service settings. Key Vault's definitely recommended for your secrets. I'm going to go ahead and do a publish right here, and the publish dialog is going to go ahead and wake up, and it's going to reach out to my site and go ahead and deploy my code all the way out to my app service. And once that code's been deployed to the app service, we're going to use the Swashbuckle CLI tools to generate the OAS document directly on my machine, and then we're going to push that up to API management and ingest that API directly. You can see here, I went ahead and launched my browser, but my browser is my dev tool. I'll do LS one more time. And now I can do CD inter. Actually, right here, I'll just do get representative data. And if I hit enter, what we'll see here in a minute is that I'm actually going to make a query directly to my app service and get back all the representative data that I have in that table in my Cosmos DB. If you see down here, you'll see that we've generated that API and we've pushed it up into my API management. So if I were to go here and just refresh my API management portal blade, now you'll see there is my COVID screening app API. And if I were to slide this over a little bit, you'll see that I have all of these operations that I've just created from my API. If I were to go here and click on the screening data table, the one data table we haven't looked at, you'll see that it's already got all the different objects that I need, all my different definitions. Everything has already been ingested. Most importantly, the base URL for my API has been set in API management. And if I want to, I can go ahead into the test and I could execute send right here. And we could see that we're going to execute against that third API controller and get back what we want. So this is a case where I've got APIM sitting in front of my API so that I can control access to the individual methods and I can use it in Power Automate flows a little bit more fluidly. Got some cool stuff coming there for functions in the future. Last thing is, I want to get this into Power Platform as a connector. You've already seen that a few times today. Since I'm in API management, I can go right here, just click export, and go right here to Power Apps and Power Automate and export this directly as a connector. So I've shown you how to do this with some of the new dev tools. I'm going to turn it over to Abel and let him show you how to CI/CD it.
All right, thanks, Brady. Let me share my screen really quickly. All right, I am really, really excited to be at this conference and to talk about DevOps and the Power Platform. Because as cool as Power Apps is, you do Power Platform plus DevOps, it's freaking amazing, right? But before we begin, what exactly is DevOps? If you ask 10 different people what DevOps is, you're probably going to get 20 different answers. So to kind of level set, at Microsoft, DevOps means something very specific to us. DevOps is the union of people. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. So at DevOps, for us, it is the union of people, process, and products to enable the continuous delivery of value to our end users. Now, notice I said that really, really carefully, right? Because every word has meaning. Notice I didn't say continuously deliver code, because what will that give us? Piles and piles of code sitting in a repo somewhere. Who cares? It doesn't do anybody any good. And notice I didn't even say continuously deliver features, because you could be delivering feature after feature, sprint after sprint. But again, if this is not what our end users need or want, why are we wasting time in doing it, right? So the key here is we need to continuously deliver value. Now, some of you are probably thinking, okay, that's great, but why should I care, right? The reason is the speed of business today is so ridiculously fast. The only way for us dev teams to keep up is if we adopt DevOps best practices. Now, here's the thing. If you don't adopt DevOps best practices, guess what? Your competitors, they either have or they will. And when they do, they will out-innovate you. And when that happens, you and your company, y'all now are just obsolete. And none of us wants that to happen, right? Okay. So this isn't just me spouting DevOps theory. We literally have concrete empirical proof now that teams that adopt DevOps best practices absolutely out-innovate those that don't. And not just by a little bit, but by a lot. So great, I've convinced you all now, right? DevOps is super, super important. But how do we add DevOps to a Power App? Well, this brings me to a great DevOps principle, which is if something hurts, don't run away from it. You need to do it more. Find what hurts the most, keep doing it, and make it better. So what hurts with the Power Platform? Now, as a coder like me, messing with the backend code, without a doubt, it is the provisioning, configuring, building, and deploying your Power Platform plus Azure app. Oh my goodness, that is super, super painful to do. However, I'm super lucky, right? Because I do DevOps a lot, so I can kind of break things down and figure out what we need to do. A lot needs to happen when you do a build and deploy. So check this out. Anytime I touch the code, to be able to see my changes deployed into environment, I need all of this stuff to happen. I need to make sure my infrastructure is provisioned correctly up in Azure. Then I need to make sure that infrastructure, not only is it provisioned, I need to make sure it's configured correctly. Next, I need to be able to build my application, run all of my tests, and then I need to be able to deploy all my new build bits into that infrastructure. And best case scenario, I want this to happen every single time somebody checks in code into my repository. Now, lucky me, my code, it's sitting in GitHub. So what that means is I can use GitHub Actions for everything that I need. Now, for those of you that don't know, GitHub Actions is GitHub's new workflow engine, where you can automate all sorts of things inside of GitHub, including CI/CD, continuous integration, continuous delivery, where anytime anyone touches the code, it will automatically build your application, run your unit tests, provision and configure the infrastructure that you need, and then deploy your app changes into that infrastructure. So now we can immediately go and validate all of those changes. Pretty cool, right? All right, so let's go see all of this in action. All right, so what you're looking at right now is my Azure resource groups. And as you can see, I have a couple of resources deployed for demos that I do for other conferences and stuff, but there are no resources for the COVID screening app right now, right? And over here, we have my GitHub repo that holds all of my source code, the front end, the back end, and also it holds my GitHub Actions that will build, deploy, and do all the good stuff, right? So for this demo, let's go ahead and touch a file. So I'll go ahead and jump into my README. I'm just gonna make one quick edit really quickly. We'll add an extra space in. We'll go ahead and commit those changes. And as soon as those changes hit GitHub, check this out. If I go into my Actions, we'll see that it's kicked off a workflow. And if we click on this, we'll be able to see everything that it's doing live. And as you can see, it's doing all sorts of crazy stuff, right? Now, this takes a little bit of time to complete. So while it's running, I'm going to show you exactly what I did to configure and make it do this. So to set up your GitHub Actions, GitHub Actions are defined in YAML files. And those YAML files are saved off of the root directory of your repo in .github/workflows. Now, this YAML file, it's actually pretty simple to understand, right? First thing that I do, we're going to go ahead and name my workflow. Next is the on section. And here is the section where you define what is going to trigger your workflow. So for this demo, I have two triggers. One of them is anytime somebody pushes any changes into master, let's go ahead and kick off this workflow. I also have a second trigger here, the workflow dispatch. And what this does is it gives me the ability to do a manual triggering. So I can, there's a little button where I can press and it will go ahead and trigger this workflow as well. All right, after you define your triggers, you can define your global environment. So these are environmental variables that I am going to use throughout my entire workflow. Now, as you can see, these variables that I'm using, these are very specific to my subscription, right? So this is going to build, provision, and deploy everything into my sub. After you've described your environment, you get to describe what are the jobs that are going to run. And if we open this up, you'll see I have a whole bunch of jobs, right? And most of these are running in parallel. So the reason why I have so many jobs is a lot of what I'm doing right now is let's go ahead and provision the infrastructure that we need out in Azure. So we need to provision Cosmos DB. We need to provision App Service. We need to provision APIM, right? So there's all sorts of stuff that we need to do, and they don't necessarily depend on each other. So to be efficient, I'm going to make them go in parallel. So my very first job is the build front end. So this is going to build. Next, you pick the virtual machine that you're going to be running on. And this is hosted up in GitHub, so we're going to use an Ubuntu server. And next comes a series of steps, right? So the way Actions work is that it's basically a step runner or a task runner where it runs one step after another after another. So I'm literally saying, let's go ahead and check out my code. Let's set up .NET Core. Let's install dependency. Let's build. Let's test. Let's publish. And then let's package everything up into zip files. And then when that's done, let's go ahead and publish those build artifacts back to GitHub so now I can use them later on in my workflow. Right. So in parallel, I also build and provision the backend services. So this is kind of cool. I do things a little bit differently here. Again, I'm using an Ubuntu server. I check out my code, and this is kind of neat. It looks like I'm taking a file, a provision webapp.bash file, and I'm making it executable. And once it's done, I go ahead and run that bash file, and I pass in a bunch of parameters. So let's go ahead and look at what I'm doing in this bash file, right? So here it is. First, I read in what my parameters are. And then this bash file is literally just using the Azure CLI to do stuff. So the first thing that I do is I log into Azure using a service principle. Then I create my resource group if it doesn't exist. I create an Azure Container Registry. I log into it. And then I use Docker to build my back end. And when that's done, I tag it and I push that container back up to the Azure Container Registry. Now, once that's done, I can go ahead and provision my app service as well. So again, using the Azure CLI, I create my app service plan, I go ahead and create my app service, and I link my app service to this container registry, and then I do some swaggery type of stuff, when I do some app settings, and hooray for that. That should be done, right? All right. So again, also in parallel, I provision my APIM. So same thing that we did last time, right? We check out the code, we make the execution file, we make the bash file executable, then I go ahead and call this particular bash file. So here it is, APIM. Again, I'm using the Azure CLI to do stuff. I create my resource group if it doesn't exist, and I go ahead and create my APIM resource. So somebody might now be thinking, why am I using a bash file to do all this as opposed to just putting these Azure CLI commands directly into my YAML? I totally could do it that way. The reason why I'm using a bunch of bash files is because when Brady asked me to do this, in his repo, there were a bunch of bash files that already did all the stuff for me. So it was super easy for me just to repurpose everything that he's already done and just throw them into my pipeline. So you can do it however you need to, right? Me, I just chose the path of least resistance. All right, next we go ahead and provision Cosmos DB. Again, same thing that we did last time, right? What do? We take my provision Cosmos.bash file, I go ahead and make it executable, I call it, execute it, and I pass in a bunch of my parameters. If we look at this bash file, again, using the Azure CLI, we're provisioning and configuring our Cosmos DB. And finally, we do something a little bit more interesting, configure web app. So if you'll notice, it does have an extra line that says it needs the build provision backend app services and the provision Cosmos jobs. So I need to configure my app service, but I can't configure my app service until it's already provisioned my app service and also provision Cosmos DB. Because what I want to do is I want to set the connection string in my app service to point to that Cosmos DB. So this right here is literally saying, okay, before you were doing all of those jobs in parallel, right? This time, don't do it in parallel. Wait for your build and provision backend app services to finish and your provision Cosmos to finish. When those two jobs finish, let's go ahead and kick off. And what this does, again, same thing, right? I'm calling a bash script, and all this one is doing is literally it's doing one thing, right? It's getting my connection string to my Cosmos DB and then setting the connection string into my app service, right? And then finally, when everything is done, I then deploy my backend. So now I'm going to wait for all of the jobs to finish. And when all those jobs finish, right, a whole bunch of them are running in parallel, we'll go ahead and fan back in and we'll deploy our app. And really the deployment here is not so much of a deployment as I need to set up my APIM to make it do everything. So here, instead of running a bash script, I'm running a PowerShell script. So we'll go ahead and take a look. And the reason why I'm using PowerShell is because some of these commands for APIM, the AZ CLI it's not quite ready for the public yet. So I figured I better use code that's that the public can use, which is using PowerShell. So here we go. Ta-da, that's it, right? So when you're creating your workflows, a lot of times people ask me, how do you start? Where do you begin? How do you build out one of these workflows? And what I tell people is, first of all, you got to think through step by step, how would you do this through the command line? Because if you can teach me how to do it through the command line, I can easily teach this YAML file how to do it as well. So there we go. We should have a full CI/CD pipeline now that takes our code, builds, tests, provisions, configures, and deploys, right? So if we jump back into Azure, well, we'll jump back into GitHub. It looks like we provisioned everything. Hooray for that. It looks good. We've provisioned a bunch of stuff. We've configured everything. We've deployed everything. Looks good. We go into Azure. Let's go ahead and refresh. And look at that. We've created a brand new resource group that has our COVID screening application. If I drill into here, we can see all the resources that it created, the app service plan, API management, my Cosmos DB, my container registry. And we've also deployed our application all the way into the resources that it created for us as well, right? So super, super cool. This is awesome, right? So let me go ahead and stop my sharing for a second. So this right here is freaking unbelievable, because what we have just done is we've created a pipeline using GitHub Actions. So now if anyone touches our code and checks it in, it's going to automatically build our application. It's going to automatically run our unit tests. It will go ahead and provision the infrastructure that we need up in Azure. It will then go and configure everything that we need up in Azure, and then it will deploy everything that we need into Azure, all just like that, with just your developer checking their code in. Pretty awesome. However, we do got a small problem. If we want to deploy this out to multiple environments, like to lots of different subscriptions or maybe to lots of different customers, that's when things start to fall apart. So this pipeline, it's not really cloud native. So what that means is if you want to scale this out to tens or even hundreds of different environments, we're going to need something else to do that. So now Ralph is going to come on and show us exactly what that something else is. He's going to look into the future a little bit and use something called Porter, which is an open source cloud native packaging tool, which places the entire pipeline that I just shown you into a container along with the app artifacts inside of a container. So now we can build, provision, configure, deploy, do all that stuff to super complex applications, and it totally solves our scaling problem too. So Ralph, take it away.
I'm looking forward to it. That was a great intro, I have to say. So let me share my screen here. Actually, before I do that, I want to sort of frame the situation, taking from what you just saw with Brady and with Abel. When you watch Brady build the beginning of this application, you can see how useful these tools are, and it specifically calls out the functionality of API management on top to handle your APIs and project the shape of your API into other layers above it. In this case, the Power Platform solution that sits on top and is really actually the most important thing. Data is critical. But remember, it's the interaction with the users that Power Platform is fantastic for. And it really is the way you deliver the wealth of the data to the people who need it most. But Abel was able to show, hey, it's not just a developer that can build this. In fact, you can set up an automation CI/CD pipeline that builds each step that Brady built, and build it automatically, such that if anybody, Brady or a colleague, modifies some code, everything in the chain will be properly built and deployed. But Abel pointed out that there's that is fantastic, and it's also fantastic, especially because we're used to these kinds of what you might call Jenkins experiences, or if you're a longtime Microsoft customer or ecosystem member, then Visual Source Safe, and we can go back further and further than that. Of course, I have gray hair for a reason. But what you can't do is what Abel said. You can't now take that development pipeline and just add customers or other organizations or other departments' credentials to it willy-nilly and then trigger off 5 more deployments, or 10 more, or 100 or 1,000. At some point, there's a couple of things that happen. One, it takes forever for all the deployments to happen. That's one issue. Another issue is that the credential sets begin to pile up in Able's control. Now, Able is fantastic, and I trust Able with my life, but at the other end, you might not. And it's not easy to say who's right here. So in this situation, what you really don't want to do is begin to accumulate security-sensitive artifacts in one place, because it's not Able that will suffer if there's a breach. It is, in fact, all the customers' environments that would suffer. So you can see that deployment, no matter how professional, is not the same as distribution. What we really want to do is distribute the entire app. Up until now, we've shown you the back end. Brady has shown you how to build it, and it builds beautifully with the tooling that helps you make it happen really rapidly. Able has showed you, I said Brady, because it was Brady that did that. Able just showed you how to automate it. We haven't seen the front end. You may have seen the build demo that Brady pointed out, or you may have seen a screenshot in an earlier presentation. We're going to show you the rest of the app now, and you're going to see it later, right? And that's the Power Platform part. And those two are different platforms. So how can we ship one thing, even though it's a bundle of other things? What we need to do is have a technology that can put maybe anything inside it and move it around the internet and trust it, right? That sounds like it would be really useful. That kind of a bundle actually exists in a specification called the Cloud Native Application Bundle, CNAB. But the tool we use is an open source community tool in the CNAB ecosystem called Porter. And Porter enables you to build, functionally speaking, that entire pipeline for deployment, upgrade, or uninstall, or custom actions such as status, for example, but also put all of that with the application artifacts in one container, which means you can push it to Docker Hub, you can push it to ACR. Today, I'm going to show you how that works. Now, there are this demo, which I'm now going to share my screen for. I'll have to click a couple of buttons, and then you'll see the magical Able for a brief moment while I ship over to here. So now I'm going to show you, if you're a Power Platform builder, I want you to understand that I'm going to show you the CLI experience here, but you can imagine this is going to be a button on your repository or in a marketplace, just the same way that you saw the VS Code Share button in Brady's repository. But to show everybody what's going to happen, Azure developers and Power Platform developers, whom I like to think of as visual developers, right? What we're doing is, if you can see at the top, the tag is pointing to an ACR repository in which there is this entire app. Now, I want to go ahead and install this. It's hard to believe that both Azure resources and the front end are actually in there, but it's true. And the fact is that we can put it in a container. I'll show you later. You don't have to know container technology for this to work. If you do, there are ways to customize it to make it even more powerful. But what I really want to show you is this is a way to distribute the entire application as a unit so that you can not only give it to multiple departments, but if you were going to, for example, this is a COVID screening app, if you wanted to give it to or sell it to a hotel chain, but they had different environments for different countries around the world, you'd need a way to help every country install it easily without having to master either Able or Able's YAML, let alone Brady's bash script that puts it together from the developer standpoint. So let's kick this off, because I don't want to make you wait to see the whole experience. We're doing this live, so of course, even though it runs perfectly, I'll have some hiccups. First, it's going to go ahead and log into Azure. And you can think of this as performing the exact same steps as Able's pipeline. And there's a reason. Both Able and I took Brady's script and we implemented each stage in order in our respective environments. So this should look very familiar. Now, the only difference going on here is that there are two lies that I built into this demo. And if you want to tweet Brady and tell him what you think the lie is, we'll get some. We'll see if anybody can guess. But there are also two things you cannot yet do, and this is preview code that we're not quite ready to ship. So I just want to give you a look into the future because it's going to be available for you very soon. The two things you can't do is from the Linux side, as Abel mentioned, the CLI functionality for importing the Swagger URL into APIM is what I call it, but of course it's API management. That doesn't exist, which is why Abel used PowerShell. So in this case, we're doing something a little bit private that you can't see. The second thing we're doing, and now we're creating Cosmos DB and the databases in Cosmos. The second thing we're doing that you can't yet do is we're going to take the Power Platform solution, which is the entire collection of Power Platform artifacts. Normally those things that you manipulate and would have designed in collaboration with Brady in the Power Platform environment, right? Those artifacts are also in this container and the commands in order to install them, all in one workflow. Now, the reason that this is going to be usually takes about 3 minutes, 3.5, 4 minutes, and it doesn't take longer because there are two lies in the demo, as I said. But the reason this is going to work is precisely because everything, this workflow you're seeing stream before you, and the artifacts to install on the infrastructure we're now deploying, they all exist in the container. Now, you don't have to be a container. I said that before. You don't have to be a container expert. That's good, because Porter will handle creating the container for you. And I'll show you Porter afterwards. And you can see now the DB instance is created in Cosmos. And what we're doing now is creating the partitions, what in Cosmos language is a collection. These, you can see, representatives, they correspond to the various calls that Brady showed you early on. The nice thing about Porter and building a container, which you don't have to worry about, is that it can now be pushed and pulled both to public registries, like the forthcoming GitHub registry, or to Docker Hub or any other public registry. But it can also be, for example, in this case, this is a custom application. We can push it into ACR where it's trusted. It can be geo-replicated around the world. It can be secured. It can be scanned for security vulnerabilities. And its access can be controlled. And I'll show you a little bit about how that works also later on. The other thing you can do with containers, and that means a CNAB bundle, this entire package, is you can digitally sign them. So even though a lot of this conversation you've seen here today is about amazing backends, for example, Samuel Adrani's earlier IoT demo that did the fan was fantastic, and then you could do it connected to Power Platform, right? Now I want to point out we've gotten to the little bit of the custom code. I'm going to take a small digression here for a moment and show you that we're now modifying. We jumped from Azure and Azure commands into custom commands that know how to install a Power Platform solution. This is fantastic because it's part of the same workflow. And so that bundle doesn't actually need to worry about where it gets deployed from because it contains the knowledge how to deploy each artifact wherever you tell it to deploy that. Here, we've got a little bit of dance here doing using the COVID response managed zip, which is the zipped package for the Power Platform solution. And I'm doing something there a little bit sleight of handy, and I'll explain it later if somebody wants to know what it is, but we're setting a custom host name. You can see it says Ralph Screening App APIs and not just COVID Screening App APIs. So I built a backend that's custom and I had to modify the platform solution, the Power Platform solution, so that it pointed at the correct custom backend, right? Not just the one that Abel built. Then I go ahead and log on and you can see there's a little bit of a deprecation warning. I'll be talking with David so that we make sure that that code gets taken care of. But it did install completely, right? So how do we know? let's go look at the whole application from stem to stern, right? The way we do that is we go back to Azure. And so we're looking at the resource groups right now, and you can see that we did install a COVID screening resource group. And inside, you will see the same resources with different names, but you'll see that I actually do have a custom name for mine. So that's my app, my API management service instance. And if I go in there, I should see, and in fact I do, a custom URI. This URL, this is exactly the same one that you saw me changing in the bundle. And it takes a little bit of time for it to hit the Cosmos DB through the web API and bring up the data. Usually, because there's no route for the root, it should give us we'll do this. I'm going to choose one of the routes specifically to the data. So the 404 is correct. That is right for the root. But now we need to hit the data. And you can see that the data is also interpreted by Chrome, in this case, as Portuguese, which is not true, but is amusing. So we've got the back end up and running, and we got it running from a container. We don't have to worry about that. And that container, because it's immutable, it never changes, can be given to Able, it can be given to the hotels, it can be given to anyone. And as long as they have the credentials to create resources in the various environments, that container will work. And they don't have to give Able the credentials to make that happen. So did we do it on the front end as well? We did. It's right there. So how do we use this? We go ahead and do it in the familiar way that you will come to expect. There are, because you're looking into the future, two little hiccups right here, and I'll show you what they are. We'll be working those out in the near future so that when you get access to this functionality, it's smooth. But we wanted to give you the idea. The first one is we're going to go ahead and not sign in. And the reason is because the custom connection is not connected properly here for a very small reason that has not yet been fixed, and it will be. You go ahead and re-add it because it is in the solution. And now we're ready to test it out. But we're going to pop open the monitor so that we have something to look at because we need to know it's actually running, and we're going to hit play. If we hit play, all right, we're going to go ahead and now try to go all the way through the back end, the custom API that we just created on the fly from one line. And we see the data. I'm going to get that out of my way, and I'm going to go ahead and click back. And it's not just that data, it's this data. We'll hit back and we'll hit port of entries. Now we need to make sure it sure looks like it's working, but in fact, we can go here and we can see by choosing this, we can see the request, we can see the response, and we can see the body, and you can see all the data coming through. Great, it's working, fantastic. So we're gonna go ahead and close this out, and now we'll save it. And we'll move into the publish workflow, which you should be completely familiar with. And it appears that the timing for this will work perfectly, which has never happened to me. And so I'm thrilled with myself, which is probably almost, well, it's not really almost as important. So we go ahead and leave this. We go back to here. Here's the quick start guide for Porter. That's going to be one of your homework items. And we go back to the apps and we go ahead and launch the app. Now you should get the familiar login and permit. We do that. We wait for the whole application to load. There it is. We've got the formatting and the screens and the whole thing. And we hit the application. And there you see Jeff right there, the smiling face, who will come on and show the demo later on. But this is actually running. Stem to stern, back end, front end, the entire experience in one item. It's in here. One thing. And last item I want to show is if you look at the credentials, because of course we had to pass some credentials to do this, you can see there's a COVID demo. If I cat that credential, you'd expect to see secrets. In fact, you don't. You see references to Azure resources, which we also populated as we should have. So the secrets required to install this don't even exist anywhere where the tool is. They are controlled by Azure. They're right there. All one thing, shareable, trustable, securable. And it can be built by Able's pipeline every time that pipeline executes. And that's the power of Porter and CNAB used in collaboration with Azure custom backend and the Power Platform solution. Back to Brady.
Wow. I think I have the pleasure of being able to see both Abel and Ralph the entire time we're watching Ralph do that. And the looks on our faces were just mind blown every single couple minutes.
Empty. See him do that? You mean empty. That's what you mean.
Mind blown. It's good.
Okay.
I'm going to share my screen real quickly. That was absolutely fantastic. I'm going to share my screen really quickly. And what I'll do is probably have a little bit of inception there for a moment. And I'm going to go to my deck and launch this real quickly. And this is essentially going to be a series of, I know Glenn is going to yell at me in a second, a series of homework assignments and resources that we want you to take a peek at. And I'm going to pull those up in the browser here momentarily, but I'll just leave this on screen for a moment. Yes. So what I'll do, is I'll go ahead and keep going. I can hear Glenn is speaking right now, so my apologies. I'll take this off for now. What I'll do is I'll basically show you that these are our kind of our friendly links, and we've got a couple of resources down at the bottom. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip over to my browser and just show you a couple of homework assignments that I'd like you to try. The first one is to, if you are a .NET developer, we definitely want to see you building APIs to be used as connectors. So I'd like you to take a peek at some of our documentation on how to use Swashbuckle and or NSWAG to generate your OAS, Open API Specification documents directly from your ASP.NET core code. The next thing I would show you is we have documentation on how to use that HTTP REPL and how to acquire it directly from NuGet because it ships as a .NET global tool. The last thing I'll show you over here is a great article from our colleague Angelos on how to actually dial in the HTTP REPL as a debugger, as a debug target within Visual Studio so you get that F5 experience that you saw me do during the demo. And then the last thing is we have a link on how to manually import and publish your first API into API management. Like I said earlier, the preview of Visual Studio just shipped, and we have this in the box for it. So if you check on the Azure Workstream and the ASP.NET Workstream, you'll get it for free. So you go ahead and right-click and try it out, and we're going to be making it easier for you to dial in Swagger later this year, and as Ralph showed you, to deploy your Power Apps to multiple environments. Thanks a lot for tuning in today. I'll go back to this slide and just say that that's the end of our presentation, and we hope.
But join us for a chat.
Join us for a chat. Yes, Dev too. Join us for a chat here in a minute.
And figure out the lies in the demo.
All of them.
Nope. Bye bye.
Bye bye.